good morning. I want to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and ask that as my brother, your brother, Elder Jeff Oldham stands to bring the message this morning, that I ask that you and each of you would pray, that you would pray for him, that the Lord would inspire him, that he would loosen his tongue, and that the power of the Holy Ghost would carry that message and the real meaning into each of our hearts and help us to know how to apply it to our lives, and that it would truly feed us and nourish us, inspire us. So with that, I would give you my brother, Elder Jeff Oldham.
Great. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Good morning, everyone. It is a honor to have the opportunity to have this time with you this morning. Before I get started in the words that I feel that I've been given to deliver today, my sermon today is about prayer. And prayer is something that really is a very simple word, a very simple action. But I would ask the question, are we using it in our lives today? And Jerry asked, and this is probably, I probably should have suggested this or asked this before we started the recording, but I think it would be appropriate, given that the theme of my sermon today is on prayer, is I think it would be appropriate if we take just a couple minutes real quick and have a short season of prayer for Jerry's mother and father-in-law and Cindy while they're there. And so if no one opposes, I think if everyone would bow their heads, I'll start us in a season of prayer, and then if anyone wants to add their prayer for Joan and Dale and Cindy, I think that would be very appropriate this time.
Jeff?
So, yeah.
Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and just pause the recording.
No problem. Okay. Okay. Are we back on now, Jerry?
Yes, I'm back, and thank you for the prayers.
I want to go ahead and get started, and I'm going to dive right into a scripture this morning to move us right into this service, and this is kind of my quick testimony on this first few verses that I'm going to read. Is we were in a sacrament service last Sunday. We had the chance to go back down to Missouri, and as we sat there in the sacrament service, some of the testimonies that were going on and some of the thoughts that I had, my mind was drawn to this these scriptures or these verses within the second book of Nephi. And so I'm going to start in the second book of Nephi, the 14th chapter, and just the last four verses there in that chapter. So starting with the 9th verse in the 14th chapter. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge nor understand great knowledge when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as the word can be. Now, if we go back and we think about this time in Nephi's life was nearing the end of his life and nearing the end time of his time here on earth. But Nephi, and we all know the story of Nephi and many stories within Nephi clearly set an example, clearly set a, I guess the word legacy could be said, and that building up of a foundation that was established for the church here on earth, for the Nephites, and even that example that was set for the Lamanites there too. And it continues on in the 10th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth man a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. And you know this verse, as we talk about, for if ye hearken in the Spirit, would teach us a man to pray. And if you think about prayer and go back in your life and think about prayer in your life and the beginning as early back as you can remember, and I think probably for most of us we would remember or at least know of prayer in our lives. It's a very simple word. It's a very simple activity. But do we practice prayer daily in our lives, over everything that we do in our lives? I know that as my boys were young little boys, I remember, we would always go down and kneel down beside their bed at night and pray and offer our prayers up before night, trying to set that example for my boys and always talking to them even now, encouraging them, have they prayed? Make sure you say your prayers at night. Make sure that you're praying over everything in our lives. I remember my parents, before I could go cut the grass, my dad would remind me, now let's make sure we pray before we go out and cut the grass. As a kid, I thought, oh, how crazy is that? As a parent, now I definitely understand and encouraging my own boys to make sure they pray even before they go out and cut the grass and do those things in their life. And so I would ask the question and for you to think in your minds and think in your hearts of, do you have a testimony of the power of prayer in your lives? I know many of us do, and I would say that probably each of us do, of a time in our life when we have been blessed, when we have offered a prayer or a prayer has been offered for us, and we have been blessed. And the thing that I want you to think about as we go through this is I want you to think about that power of prayer and that really that positive experience and that opportunity that prayer has presented for us. Michelle and I get a newspaper on a daily basis, and as I flip through that newspaper in the morning, it's a national newspaper, and so as you're looking at the news from across the nation, it's something that right now it's kind of frustrating to read the newspaper, and pretty much everywhere you go, there's gloom and doom, there's stock market struggling, there's financial markets, there's everything that's going on. All we read about is extremely challenging times. Unfortunately, sometimes when we get down into those tough times, or when we get down into those tough experiences, or when those challenges face us, we tend to fall back into prayer on a more regular basis or a more frequent basis. And really, I want us to think about prayer in our lives every day, everything that we do, in that simple reminder of, much like the song we sang this morning, did we think to pray? I want to turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And hopefully for those that have been to camp, the youth that have been to camp, hopefully this is a scripture that you'll remember. We've had this as a theme a couple times now. One of my favorites, and hopefully some of you will remember this real quickly as we start to read. So we're going to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 10th verse. And so I'll give you a second to get there to your place. And as we start in Ephesians, the 10th chapter, this is one that I want you to think about as we go through this. And I want you to really focus in on the last verse that I'm going to read here. So I'm going to read the 10th through the 18th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of my absolute, and I've said this before in different places, but one of my absolute favorite, or probably most memorable, skit that I remember at camp, and some of you might remember it that have been there, but there was a skit that I think it was A.J. Adams was in, and I remember it was around this camp theme, and the skit that he'd come in and he'd come in and he'd put on a piece of the armor, and then he'd go out to fight and he would lose. And then he would go back and he'd put on another piece of the armor, and he'd go out and he'd fight and he'd lose. And this goes back and forth and keeps going on to where he's putting on each piece. And finally he has every piece of the armor on that we read here. He has on the helmet. He has on the sword. He has on the breastplate of righteousness. He has his feet shod. So his entire body, and if you can imagine someone in the army, someone back in this period, where they're putting on all of this armor, they're protected. They have that strength of the armor around them. And so here was AJ in this skit. He goes back out, and he goes to fight the enemy. And he got hit, and he lost again, and he fell down. And it was something that you could see on his mind and you could see on his face that he was questioning that. And finally, someone read, in the background, read this 18th verse. And this is the verse that I think is important, because our armor is not completely on until we've done this last thing. The 18th verse says, praying always with all prayer and supplication into the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, I find in my own life sometimes that life is very busy, life is very crazy, like each one of you. There is absolutely no additional time in a day, and you find yourself probably, at least I know myself, I find myself where I forget to pray. And I'm ashamed to say that, but I find myself in times that I know that I'm not as close a communication with the Lord as I should. And so as those fiery darts come, or as those darts come and start to hit that breastplate of righteousness, there starts to be chinks in that armor. And that armor is not complete until that prayer is there with us, and that prayer and prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I think that's really ultimately my prayer for us today, is that we continue to take that prayer, that very simple thing in our life, and I can't say that enough. Prayer is very simple. It doesn't require us to really do anything, but just to focus our mind on the Lord and start to communicate with Him. I remember sometime ago, someone had told me a story, and it was somebody that I'd worked with, and he conveyed and he talked about how with the Lord, we have a direct line, a direct communication. And that communication line is always open. And he explained it as a big, long pipe that goes right up to heaven, and that pipe is always open. But unfortunately, sometimes we're the ones who close that pipe. And so who has changed? Well, we know the Lord doesn't change. And we know that the Lord is there waiting for our call and waiting for our beck and call. But it's us that change, and that focus that we have to put. Now I want to shift, and I want to move into a story, and this is probably where we're going to spend the majority of my time this morning is on these verses. I'm going to ask each of you that have your Book of Mormons there with you to turn with me, because I want to go through a lot of verses, and I want to go through a story, and this is one that a story that I've wanted and really has been on my mind a lot. And as I thought about that first few verses in the second Nephi that I opened with, I continually think about the story of Abinadi. And so I want to read about the story of Abinadi. So I'd ask you to turn to page 239 in the Book of Mormon. It's the seventh chapter of Mosiah. And I'm going to go pretty quick because I've got a lot of verses I want to cover. And I'm going to skip around a little bit, so bear with me, but I'll try to keep you... remind you where I'm at as we're going through this. And so to set this up and to kind of give us where we're at, again, we're in the seventh chapter of Mosiah. I'm going to start the first verse, and I'm on page 239. And so the first verse, and now it came to pass that Zenoph conferred the kingdom upon Noah, one of his sons. Therefore Noah began to reign in his stead, and he did not walk in the ways of his father. Okay, so I've read the name Zenoph, and I've read the name Noah. So I'm going to assume that none of us know who these two characters are, which I know you do, but I'm going to assume that we don't. So if we think about Zenoph, Zenoph was a man, he was a righteous man, he was a Nephite, he was a man. If you go back in the last chapter, the sixth chapter of Mosiah, there's information or somewhat of the story of Zenith, but what you find is Zenith was a man who fought. He fought against the Lamanites. He was a righteous man who did the will of the Lord. And I think that's important to remember, is that he was a man who did the will of the Lord. And now Noah, his son. Many times we refer to Noah as wicked King Noah. He was the son of Zenith, who was, the kingdom was passed over to Noah. And he was a man who definitely was not a righteous man. And he was a man that I would tell you that Abinadi played a very important role in King Noah's life. And so we're going to read about Abinadi and King Noah. And what I want you to think about as we go through these verses is that within these verses, now I have a horrible memory, but I do not remember specifically reading about Abinadi kneeling down and praying. But what I would tell you is, and the example that I would draw here, is that Abinadi could not have done what he had done and the experiences and the torture that he goes through. He could not have done that without the power of prayer. He could not have had that strength, and he could not have been prepared to meet wicked King Noah and his servants. So I'm going to continue on with the second verse. For behold, now they're talking about King Noah here. For behold, he did not keep the commandments of God, but he did walk after the desires of his own heart. And he had many wives and concubines, and he did cause his people to commit sin and do that which was abominable in the sight of the Lord. So in those first four verses, we really pick up and start to find out who is King Noah. We know he's a wicked man, and we're going to continue to read more and more about him. I'm going to skip now over to the seventh verse. And all this did he take to support himself, and they're talking about all of the gold or all of the money and the taxing of the people. And all this he did take to support himself and his wives and his concubines, and also his priests and their wives and their concubines. Thus he had changed the affairs of the kingdom. Wicked King Noah had come in, and when he had taken over the kingdom from his father, he removed all of the priests, and he threw all of the priests out, and he brought in his own priests. And basically he brought in his own cronies, his bad people, that he brought in to rule over the people, the Nephite people. For he put down all the priests that had been consecrated by his father, and consecrated new ones in their stead, such as were lifted up in pride of their hearts. Yea, and thus were they supported in their laziness and in their idolatry and in their whoredoms by the taxes which King Noah had put upon his people. Thus did the people labor exceedingly to support iniquity. I'm going to skip down to the 11th verse. And it came to pass that King Noah built many elegant and spacious buildings, and he ornamented them with fine work of wood and of all manner of precious things, of gold and of silver and of iron and of brass and of ziph and of copper. And he also built him a spacious palace and a throne in the midst thereof, all of which was of fine wood and was ornamented with gold and silver and with precious things. So you start to understand, and you see the story of King Noah, and where is King Noah's focus? You know, the Nephite people, which King Noah was of, the Nephite people who had experienced, really in the previous chapter, multiple battles against the Lamanites, and recognized that their freedom, and recognized that their safety and protection was clearly because of the Lord. And think in our own lives. Now, fortunately, we're not facing Lamanites, and we're not having to prepare and go against battle against the Lamanites or anything like what was experienced at this time. But what we do face is we do face those fiery darts of the devil. And those fiery darts are being thrown at us daily in our daily lives. And are we prepared for those? Are we kneeling down and praying? And are we ready for that which can come our way? Now, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to think negative or try to create concern, but I want us to think about, is prayer in our lives, and are we ready to face those challenges? Continuing on, I'm going to skip over to the 20th verse now. And it came to pass that he placed his heart upon his riches, and this is King Noah, and he spent his time in riotous living with his wives and his concubines, and so did also his priests spend their time with harlots. Wicked King Noah's time was focused on evil. Continuing down, I'm going to drop down the 22nd verse. And it came to pass that the Lamanites began to come in upon his people, upon small numbers, and to slay them in their fields. And while they were tending their flocks, and King Noah sent guards round about the land to keep them off. And he did not send a sufficient number, and the Lamanites came upon them and killed them and drove many of their flocks out of the land. You know, if you think about and go back, and if I remember, I think our brother Bob Hedrick had talked about, you know, how many times, or had drawn up the example, how many times do we see the Nephites all the way through the Book of Mormon that come close to the Lord and fall away from the Lord, come close to the Lord and fall away from the Lord, many, many times. And here is a time now that definitely the Nephite people are being tried. They've fallen away from the Lord. Definitely King Noah has pulled the people away from their focus on the Lord. And now the Lamanites are starting to destroy them and come against them. 25th verse, and it came to pass that King Noah sent his armies against them, and they were driven back, and they drove them back for a time. Therefore they returned rejoicing in their spoil. So here's King Noah sending his army out, and definitely now he's getting a big head because he defeated the Lamanites. And now because of this great victory, they were lifted up in pride of their hearts. They did boast in their own strength, saying that their 50 could stand against thousands of the Lamanites. And thus they did boast, and did delight in blood, and the shedding of blood of their brethren, and this because of the wickedness of their king and priests. You know, there's a lot of comparisons that you could set here and draw to, and definitely one that I think of many times, and I look at some of the sports figures that we have in our lives today. You know, definitely looking up, and they view themselves as great beings. Now, definitely very, very talented individuals, people of unbelievable skill and unbelievable talent. But definitely talents that they did not receive on their own, but those talents that are God-given, no doubt. Continuing on at the 20th verse, and it came to pass that there was a man among them whose name was Abinadi. And he went forth among them and began to prophesy, saying, Behold, thus saith the Lord, and thus hath he commanded me, saying, Go forth and say unto this people, Thus saith the Lord, Woe be unto this people, for I have seen their abominations and their wickedness and their whoredoms, and except they repent, I will visit them in my anger. So here is Abinadi, and Abinadi comes in and starts to prophesy unto the people. And Abinadi is a person that really we don't know much about Abinadi. But what we do know is that Abinadi prophesies those things which he had been commanded by the Lord. And so we know that he is a servant of the Lord and a man who is taking bold moves, because here is a people in a time where they're pretty bold and pretty proud of themselves, and they see themselves and their strength. They see themselves as taking on the Lamanite army, and man, they're good. You know, they're great, and they're building up this wealth, and they're building up and continuing to fall further and further away from the Lord. And here is Abinadi, that voice that comes back, and that voice that comes out and starts to speak to the people. Skipping down to the 39th verse, and I would encourage each of you as we go through this to go back and read this chapter all the way through, because I'm going to skip through pretty quick. But it's the 7th, 8th, and 9th chapter are ones that I'd encourage you to go read on your own. 39th verse, Now it came to pass, when Abinadi had spoken these words unto them, they were wroth with him, and sought to take away his life. But the Lord delivered him out of their hands. Now when King Noah had heard the words of which Abinadi had spoken unto the people, he was wroth. He was angry, and he said, Who is Abinadi, that I may and my people should be judged of him? Or who is the Lord that should bring upon my people such great afflictions? I command you to bring Abinadi hither, that I may slay him. For he hath said these things, that he might stir up my people to anger one with another, and to raise contentions among my people. Therefore I will slay him. Now the eyes of the people were blinded thereof. They hardened their hearts against the words of Abinadi, and they sought from that time forward to take him. And King Noah hardened his heart against the word of the Lord, and he did not repent of his evil doings. And it came to pass that after the space of 2 years that Abinadi came among them in disguise, that they knew him not, and began again to prophesy among them, saying, Thus hath the Lord commanded me, saying, Abinadi, go and prophesy unto this people, unto this my people, for they have hardened their hearts against my words, they have repented not of their evil doings. Therefore I will visit them in my anger. Yea, in my fierce anger will I visit them in their iniquities and abominations. Yea, woe be unto this generation. And he continues on. And the Lord saith unto me, stretch forth thy hand and prophesy, saying, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that this generation, because of their iniquities, shall be brought into bondage, and shall be smitten on the cheek. Yea, and shall be driven by men, and shall be slain, and the vultures of the air, and the dogs, yea, and the wild beasts shall devour their flesh. And it shall come to pass that the life of King Noah shall be valued, even as a garment in a hot furnace, for he shall know that I am the Lord. And it shall come to pass that I will smite this my people with sore afflictions, yea, with famine and with pestilence, and I will cause that they shall howl all the day long. Now these verses, and I wanted to call these out, and I wanted to read these to us, because these are very important verses. And definitely the 50th verse is one that I want to draw your attention to. And it talks about, and this prophecy from Abinadi says, and it shall come to pass that the life of King Noah shall be valued even as a garment in a hot furnace, for he shall know that I am the Lord. Now what's interesting about that is that only the Lord could have known what was going to happen here. And I don't want to spoil the story, because I want to encourage you to read it. But I want you to go and continue to read this so that you read what happens to King Noah. And I want you to go back this 50th verse in the 7th chapter and know that clearly this is the Lord speaking here, because only the Lord would have known what was going to happen to King Noah. So I'm going to skip ahead now, and I'm going to move down to the 59th verse. And it came to pass that they were angry with him, and they took him and carried him bound before the king, and saith unto the king, behold, we have brought a man before thee, which has prophesied evil concerning thy people, and saith that God will destroy them. And he also prophesieth evil concerning thy life, and saith that thy life shall be as a garment in a furnace of fire. And again he saith that thou shalt be as a stalk, even as a stalk, dry stalk of the field, which is run over by beasts. And again he saith that thou shalt be as blossoms of the thistle, which when it is fully ripe, if the wind bloweth, it is driven forth upon the face of the land. And he pretendeth the Lord has spoken it. And this whole chapter continues on, and really then beginning at verse 76, Abinadi starts to speak to the people. He starts to be questioned, and he starts to answer them in continued encouragement of preparation and the focus of where the people should be. And how the falling of King Noah and his people had pulled the people away from the focus on our Heavenly Father. And what's interesting is, and I'm not going to read the verses, but if you've got a pencil or if you've got, you're taking notes, I want you to really go in and look at from the 77th verse through the 80th verse. And in our Book of Mormon, it shows a reference that is from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. But as you read that, I want you to think about, you know, that portion back in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, there are multiple references here within those 4 or 5 verses that really refer back to the Bible. And I'm going to encourage you to read that, because not just on the story of Abinadi, but definitely that prophecy and those words that Abinadi is speaking to the people are direct from the Bible too. So as we continue on, and the verse closes out and continues on with Abinadi speaking to the people. And then we move into the 8th verse, and again, Abinadi continues to speak through the 8th verse and talking to the people and telling them of their errors and telling them of their ways. And so I want to move over to the 9th chapter now, page 256. And I just have a few more verses here that I want to read. And this is important that I want us to read, because, again, I go back and my focus, and as I go back to those first verses I read, you know, our lives, as we face any challenge within our life, we cannot accomplish anything without the Lord's will being there with us. Without that direction that He gives, our success can only come with Him there with us. And that my encouragement to each of us is that we are praying over everything in our lives, everything we do. You know, I remember hearing, in fact, it was at a time I was listening to the young people talk, and talking about how, you know, they were praying for the Lord's will. and they're praying for the Lord's direction. And sometimes we may not hear that direct word back from the Lord, or we may not hear that direction back from Him. But I can tell you that if we're stepping out and we're doing things in our lives and we're not least communicating with Him and praying to the Lord, I think those times that we step out on our own, we will clearly be on our own. But we want the Lord with us when we do step out. So the Mosiah, the ninth chapter, page 256. And we've just got a few more verses to read here. And now it came to pass that when Abinadi had finished these sayings, that the king commanded that the priest should take him and cause that he should be put to death. But there was one among them whose name was Alma, he being a descendant of Nephi. And he was a young man, and he believed the words of Abinadi which had spoken, for he knew concerning the iniquity of Abinadi, inequality which Abinadi had testified against them. Therefore, iniquity, I'm sorry, am I missing words there? Iniquity which Abinadi had testified against them. Therefore he began to plead with the king that he would not be angry with Abinadi, but suffer that he might depart in peace. But the king was more wroth, and caused that Alma should be cast out from among them, and sent his servants after him, that they might slay him. But he fled from before them, and he hid himself, that they found him not. And he, being concealed for many days, did write all the words which Abinadi had spoken. Now what's important here, and definitely as we study the Book of Mormon, as we go through the Book of Mormon, we start to pick up a new person here. And definitely, Abinadi had a great influence on Alma. And Alma, you know, a very young man at this point, and Alma becomes a strong leader for the Lord. Alma becomes a very great man, and I think that probably this stand, in fact, it sometimes gives me chills when I think about, Alma took a stand here. He went up against this wicked King Noah, and he stood up against him, and he said, and tried to plead and defend Abinadi, or to save Abinadi's life, and almost to the point where he could have lost his own life. But Alma took that stand, and I have no doubt that Alma had the will of the Lord with him. And definitely continues on throughout the rest of the Book of Mormon, or multiple chapters, pages, books, on throughout the story of Alma, and then to his son Alma, and a great story of servants of the Lord who did great things. Continuing on at the 8th verse, and it came to pass that the king caused that his guards should surround Abinadi and take him. And they bound him and cast him into prison. And after 3 days, having counseled with this priest, he caused that he should again be brought before him. And he said unto him, Abinadi, we have found an accusation against thee, and thou art worthy of death. For thou hast said that God himself should come down among the children of men. And now for this cause thou shalt be put to death, unless thou wilt recall all the words which thou hast spoken evil concerning me and my people. So here the guards and the servants of King Noah come to Abinadi and say, okay, here's the deal. You take back everything you said. You take back all of those things that you were prophesying, saying that the Lord told you, and you'll have your life. Your life will be spared. But if you won't, you will be put to death. So what does Abinadi do? Now Abinadi saith unto him, I say unto you, I will not recall the words which I have spoken unto you concerning this people, for they are true. And that ye may know of their surety, I have suffered myself that I have fallen into your hands, yea, and I will suffer even until death, and I will not recall my words, that they shall stand as a testimony against you. And if ye slay me, ye will shed innocent blood, and this also stand as a testimony against you at the last day. Now here's what I'm going to encourage you to do, is I'm going to stop there. And I've said this multiple times, and I'm going to ask you to continue to, and I'm going to say it again. I would encourage you to continue to read this chapter. Read on and find out what happens to Abinadi. I also want you to read, because I want you to see what happens to King Noah. And clearly the prophecies of the Lord, that we see a mighty miracle because of the prophecies of the Lord, do come true. Now, if you've read this before, you know what happens to Abinadi. And you know what happens to King Noah. And clearly we know that of the power of prayer, Abinadi was prepared. And Abinadi knew what would happen. And he took that stand, and he took that stand for the Lord. And so in our lives, can we take that stand for the Lord? You know, it's something that seems so simple. But it's one of those basic foundations that if we don't have that strength, or really, I don't even think we can have that strength without that prayer. You know, it's much like if you go to exercise, you know, and you go exercise and you dive right in and you do a long exercise and you didn't do anything to warm yourself up ahead of time. I think really in prayer in our lives is that warm up, is that preparation, is that focus that we can come back and get closer into the Lord. And so if we go back to the song we sang this morning, and I'm going to read a couple of verses there because I want us to remember a great song, and one that as we read, really to focus on the words. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? You know, and that is so true, that prayer. You know, go back to those verses in Ephesians, you know, and putting on that whole armor of God, you know, as we're getting ready in the morning, as we're getting dressed, as we're getting ready to face whatever we do during each day, are we thinking to pray? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? You know, and how many times do we see and hear of people, and even in our own lives, you know, somebody stomps on our toe in some way or another in our lives. Did we think to pray? And that's tough. That is really tough. When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was filled with sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? And so definitely my prayer for each of us is that we would think to pray. Another verse that comes to mind, or another multiple verses that come to mind about prayer, is in James. And so I'm going to close with James, the 5th chapter, ones that we've all probably read many times, but ones that definitely apply very well in our lives and apply very well to prayer. I'm going to start at the 13th verse. So I'm in James, the 5th chapter, at the 13th verse. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is my prayer today, is that we would take with us, hopefully as a reminder. And I say a reminder because I know that we are all taught to pray. From the beginning of our lives, most of us have had that lesson in prayer. And my hope is that we do everything in our lives that we pray over that. We pray over the food. We pray over our day. We pray over our children. We pray over our parents and our families. Pray that each of us can be strong and that we can withstand those fiery darts that can come our way. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Jay Paul, are you still here?